Be'ezus Hashem, next week will be the last share. Before we go on a summer hiatus, if anyone has a suggestion for a topic they'd like the share to be on, I'm open-minded for next week. Simon Kuf Yud Gimel deals really with the Iser of Bishul Oyv Dekuchol Bishul Akum. Now, what's the reason for this Iser? Most Shitas hold that the reason for this Iser is because of Chasonus. Meaning Chazal wanted to erect social barriers between Jews and non-Jews. We shouldn't be so readily able to break bread with them. There should be irritants which stop the process from going forward. That's the shita of most of the Rishonim. And the implication of that is that it's not a kashrus question. I can know that all the food was kosher. And almost from that standpoint, when it's kosher, that's even bedafka more reason that they made it Isser. When the guy makes pork chops for dinner, so I have a reason not to come. When he goes to Brachs, he buys a plat kosher steak. It's a whole different story. So that's the sheet of most of the Rishonim. There's a second sheet though, and that sheet is Shema Yachilonu Davar Osa. If you allow a non-Jew to prepare the food for you, how are you going to be so sure that he doesn't slip some non-kosher food into the ingredients? How much we have to watch even in a Jewish establishment with the cooks to make sure they don't do such types of shtiklach. You know, they have their ingredients that they like to use for a certain dish to come out the way that's consistent with the reputation that they want. And they've been caught, you know, smuggling in ingredients and trying to secretly, you know, put them into the food so the food will come out exactly the way they want it to come out. I don't know what came up with me. So these are the two reasons for the Easter of Bishul Akum. Could be, you know, that's part of the issue. Is there an Easter by a Machal Shabbos of Bishul Akum? So the Chayra Picheshbon, and just if we stick strictly to Svar is not always true, even when the Svar is right, but it's not always true la halacha. So we ought to come to the conclusion that there's no Bishul Akum by a Machal Shabbos. Why? Because the Easter is because of Chasonis. And there's no Easter to marry the daughter of a Machal Shabbos. So why in the world should there be an Isser Chasonis? If the question was Shema Yachilin Adogra Osa, then that's a whole different story. There may be Eroch Anamen. The complicating factor in all of this is that a Machal Shabbos Perfahesia is Dino Ka'akum. So how does that factor in? So that may supersede all the Svaros. It's a status. Brisk, forget the lumnus. What category was he put into? So there is some ferment about a Mechal Shabbos in Bishul Akum. I believe the minig has been lahokel with this. That we're not concerned, certainly not in this country, in Chutz La'aretz, with issues of Bishul Akum. And I have a feeling the Hasidim were not particularly, even the Hasidim, I don't know if they're concerned either with this issue. There was a guy I know, was a Mashgiach, he had a problem in his place. His problem was that they had a part-time cook that used to work like once a month in the place. And he found out the guy was a non-from Russian Jew. It was a health-related facility where they had to cook on Shabbos, but a Yid can't cook on Shabbos there. He couldn't justify it because of the Koach Nefesh, everything that he did. So he used to, whenever they posted this guy for Shabbos, the Mashgiach crossed him off. But he knew it's not going to last forever. So he was a very sharp guy, so he went. And the guy says, he needs panos. He says, I need panos, I'll get you a job. So he went and he got him a job as a cook in a Chassidish yeshiva. Full time. So the guy was very happy. Here he had 1 weekend a month about, and he got him a job, full time job as a cook in a Chassidish yeshiva. So, as I say, I suspect that they're also meikel in this halach. I can't tell you for sure. The stam minig is lahokel, without any doubt, when it comes to Bishul Akum. There is a shita of the Tiferes Lemoisha which has to do with Stam Yenom. Is there any sort of Stam Yenom by a Mechal Shabbos? Now, I'll put the shayla with a very cute twist to it. The way I asked the shayla to Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal was a rov that has to be Masada Kedushin at a non from wedding. So then he'll give them, if they only have, whatever the reason, if there's yayin, all that's available is yayin she'einu mevushel, or that's what they want to use, is the reiser of stam yayinim if the chosid himself drinks. Does he make an iser of stam yayinim on himself? That was the shayla. He told me two things. Says, number one is the Tiferes Lemoisha says that there's no Iser on Stam Yenom by a Mechal Shabbos because it's Mishum Chasonis again. Therefore, Chasonis doesn't apply. Says he was not so happy with that, Rabbi Yoshua, because many of the Rishonim say in that Sugya, Dino Ka'akum, because it's a Mechal Shabbos. But he said, he is Soymech on it, but Tziruf, there was a big Goyin in Central Europe. I believe in Hungary, Rav Meir Arik, I think 100 years ago. And Rav Meir Arik wrote a tshuva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that it's not conceivable that Chazal made a person make Stam Yenom for himself. In other words, if a Mechal Shabbos picks up a cup of wine to drink it, it's inconceivable that Chazal would goyzer Stam Yenom because he's drinking from it. So we told him, but Sira of those two svaros, he's makel for a rov, you know. He's makel for a rov to be Masada Gedushin. But I think the Stam Minug in Chutz La'aretz is in Bishul Akum to be makel in this din. It happens to be, there was even a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wanted to argue that there's no minug kavua to prohibit the wine of a Mechal Shabbos. That's a rather very chiddush dika tshuva, but he did write such a tshuva. Yes.
Some rabbanim, I think at chasnas sometimes taste the wine, or I assume you wouldn't be allowed to do that in this situation.
Well, if you taste it first.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it's. The world is a very funny place.
Okay.
What do I mean? This whole Indian of tasting the wine, really, by a chuppah, there's no reason you have to taste the wine.
No.
Because you made the bracha on the mitzvah, and the chosin drinks and finished, whatever. So that's... where this came about was by a bris. By a bris, after the brachos, then there's the whole kriyas Hashem, and agantza, and the kinnah, and the kinnah, kayim, and sayel, and azel, la'ovid, b'le'ima, the korish, and Yisrael. So there is a serious question of hefsek, or do you say this is all part of the bris, and it's tzarech the bris, and therefore it's not a hefsek? In other words, for example, the Gemara's case in brachos, it's like gvil d'tura, you're supposed to give your animals to eat before you eat yourself. So you made a moitzi, and you realize that you didn't give the animal to eat yet, so you tell your mesharis to go give him food to the ox. So that's not a hefsek. If you like to dip the challah in chumis, and they didn't bring the chumis to the table, so the Rishonim is before, you can ask them, even though you like to eat challah with chumis, you can ask them after you said a moitzi lechem and orange, you can ask them to bring the chumis to the table. It's not a hefsek, it's a tzarech to achila. The Shaila, these tefillahs, since they're a normal part of the bris, is considered the tzarech the bris on up. So it looks like Klal Yisrael is a whole hell that's considered the tzarech the bris, it's part of the mitzvah. And Ramayla is not a hefsek. Ramayisha Zatzal had his own private chumrah that Ramayisha used to drink. But Ramayisha did not like to show off his chumras. So what Ramesha used to do, since the cup was full, inevitably a little would spill down in his hand, so he would, you know, when he gave away the kais, he'd lick his finger. So that's it. So it was unobtrusive. So no one realized. But then someone found out about it, that this is his chumrah. So then the whole belt started, all of a sudden it became a thing that the whole world has to do, you know?
Giving it to the baby is not
The baby's not mechuyev in the bro.
We had the Imam of Britain, Yom Kippur, and that's what they did. They
if the baby is not enough, because the baby is not mechuyev in the bracha. If they say if the mother is there, the mother is potter from fasting. If she's still potter from fasting, let's say it's within 3 days, how would it be?
3 days.
I'm trying to say, if there's a case, who's with someone's, I think. I'm trying to remember. Once there is 3 days, so sometimes 7 days, she could, whatever, she could be potter. In other words, if the mother's there, she's potter from fasting for whatever reason, then they said to give it to the mother. The more really an Arab says not to give it to a cotton on Yom Kippur. On the tinus, we give it to a cotton, but not on Yom Kippur. Because we're afraid this kid's going to grow up and say, yeah, I remember. So my grandfather made Kiddush on Yom Kippur. He gave me the drink, you know. So come on, Arab. So it's a whole question there who to give it to the drink on Yom Kippur. But the Tinuk, the Chor is not Mechuyev in a bracha altogether. He's not Megiel that did it to the age of Chinuch. So I don't know. I don't remember now what to do if they, you know, if you don't have the woman that's Pesachoma who to give it to. But the Chor Pashtis, the Kotten, is not Mechuyev in the bracha altogether. So here we have, now what are the parameters of this Issur? What are the parameters of the Issur? So basically there are two conditions. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin that both of these conditions are necessary to violate Bishalak. Number one has to be Dovash in Unecha Komoshul Chai. If it's something which is edible raw, then the fact that it was cooked does not create an Isser of Bishalak. Because in effect, I presume the Pshat is that. Here he brings, here's what he. The Svar of the Mumar, that the first Lamoisha says, that what I mentioned was in the Pisrei Tshuva here. Yep. Oh. So one is, so if the Bishul really is not significant because he could have eaten this Chai, so then they didn't Aser. The second thing is, V'gam Oyla Shulchan Malochim. Now if you learn that the reason is because of Chasonus, then we understand very, which I said is the principal sheet on the Rishonim, then we understand where this is coming from. In other words, the cooking has to be significant. He did something significant here. And it has to be choshev. It's oilah shulchan malocha. It's not an item. It's, in other words, the Indian is that he'll invite you, wants to be mechabed you. So it's something which would give you a kibbutz or kovot. Now, then the Shulchan Aruch continues. And it's very important. He says, "Lafis boasapas, only paperas." Now, normally, the lafis boasapas is something that you eat with bread. So it would come out, for example, let's say he made in the Rambam, it's the Lashon HaRambam. If that would be the case, suppose he made a fancy pasta dish, so the chayra would be mutter, because it's not lafis b'os apas. To echo the words of the Gemara in Brochus, that hani babli tipshoi, these foolish Babylonians, the achle namu b'nama, they eat bread with bread. They used to put dice on, they put farina on bread. So in Eretz Yisrael, they thought this was the strangest thing. You made a bread sandwich, you know. You take two pieces of bread and you put another bread, the slice of bread in the middle, and you have a sandwich. Da'achle nama b'nama. So we don't make pasta sandwiches. Whatever else we have, but pasta sandwiches, I haven't seen yet. So
if you go out to Benji's and you order a big ziti, they'll give you a piece of pita.
That's something else, because you want it to have the sauce.
So it doesn't matter.
You know, they say there's an old. That's something else. That's not what the, for the pasta. You know, there's an old Yiddish joke. There's a few things missing in the Jewish religion that have to be, you know, amended. And one of them is the let said he needs a piece of challah for the yoich, for the fish sauce, you know, in Pesach. You know, it's, the matzah doesn't cut it. You know. So. If we take the lapis boas a pas seriously, and the Rambam means literally that way, it ought to come out to something like a pasta dish, or even a high class pasta dish, would be exempt from the din bishul akum. But the Shulchan Aruch continues, he says, oila papyrus. So papyrus does not mean, simply stated, there is a papyrus that could be the lafis boas a pas. There is such a lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, but normally it means something that's not necessarily eaten with the pas, or not eaten with the pas. So the Shulchan Aruch, by writing lafis boas a pas ola papyrus, is saying that even if it's not something that you eat together with pas, pasta dish, there also is a din of bishul akum. Now afilu b'chli Yisrael. Now since the Yisrael is because of chasonus, it's not a kashrus issue. So even if with the utensils are used with Jewish utensils, so there's no chashash tarfus on them. Well, we're based Yisrael, and it was in a Jewish household, so right, there's no chashash. He cooked it in my house, and I gave it, it's my ingredients. There's no treif in my house. Also, mishum bishulei obed gacholm. It's still also because of bishul akum. Now, there's a very interesting question, which is that by pas, we have a din of question that's another siman in the Shulchan Aruch, one siman earlier, which deals with Kufyud Beis, which deals with questions of pas akum. And in our Shas, we find that Chazal equally made a gzera on pas, that they can't eat non Jewish bread. Now, the truth of the matter is that gzera certainly applies bismaneiro, that's without any doubt. Question is what the parameters of that Yisro. So there are three possibilities of what pas, how pas was made. It was made by a private non-Jew. It's a private thing. It's made by a commercial non-Jewish entity. Or it's made by a Jew. Those are the three cases. So what happens if a private non-Jew made it, then there's an Yisro of pasakum. That remains la halacha. So even if I watched and I saw every ingredient was kosher and I gave him the pot and whatever, if he baked it, that's it, it's over. He put it in the oven, made it, it's awesome. If it's pas yisrael, it's mutter. If it's what we call pas palter, that a commercial entity made it for commercial purposes. So here what happened was the following. Chazal really made a gzeira to bin that. But we find that one of the aspects of a gzera is that it has to take hold, meaning that Klal Yisrael has to accept it. If Rove Tutsis Yisrael don't accept the gzera, so that's it, it's a misfire, and it becomes bottle. So in terms of Bishop Pas Yisrael, Pas Akum, we find Rishalmi that Rove Klaisol did not accept it. What was the reason? Because bread was the staple of life, it was Chayei Nefesh. So this was very hard to be machmer in many places because they didn't have Jewish bakeries. They had non-Jewish bakeries when they lived. And that was the only bread around. You know, to have, well, all of a sudden start tomorrow that everyone has to make bread in their own house. It won't be so simple in according to our lifestyle. So Pas Akum did not get accepted because it is a din of Palter. Now what was the lumdus of Palter? The lumdus of Palter, well, there's a lumdus to it. The lumdus is that it's really, it's not a personal association. My next door neighbor, Dorothy Smith, made a cake for me and it's kosher, but that's a personal gift between two people. So that's a question of chasonos. If we get too chummy, you know, my son might marry our daughter Chalila, you know. But when you're dealing in a commercial bakery, this is not personal, this is business. So business, there's no chasonos. So why is it that there's no, what happens in terms of bishul akum is there din palter too. Now that really depends what we put to the emphasis. If we put the emphasis on the palter, that it's a commercial entity and it's not a personal involvement with it, then l'chayr there should be a heter of palter by bishul akum. If we put the emphasis that sof kol sof, and both factors were present by pas akum, there was palter and it was chayei nefesh, the reason they didn't accept it, but the heter that emerged from that was palter. But without the reason of chayei nefesh, so maybe enoch anamli, that but bishul akum, since it's not necessarily chayei nefesh, it's not the staple food, so therefore maybe it became osur. So what is the status of palter? Now in the Shulchan Aruch we don't find mention of palter in terms of bishul akum. Happens to be there's a machlokes the Ro and the Rashba, the Torah Sabayis about it. And I believe the Ro was the one that held that there's a din of palter by bishul akum too. What's the difference? There's no chasonos. The Rashba paskin that no, the heter of palter is only a pas. It doesn't apply. I presume the reason is chayei nefesh. They didn't hear the word in some makom. Or that's one way to learn. Now, if you learn like that, that it would come out in all ifanim, that in all situations, that there's never going to be a het to palter. Now we could make a twist to this. We could say like this. We could say that because of chayei nefesh, they were more meikel. So because of chayei nefesh was the reason they were more meikel by pas, but not per se that this is not chayei nefesh. The chayei nefesh and not chayei nefesh is not the determining factor. The determining factor of the din is the din of chasonos. So we could say like this. By pas akum, where the problem of not having it was great because it was chayei nefesh, so they took a somewhat more relaxed standard of chasonos. And they said, listen, yeah, it's true. Tony owns the bakery, you know, and he does live down the block from me, but so of course, oh, my dealing with him, this is not a personal relationship. It's not the same as your neighbor giving you a pie, like an apple pie I just made. It doesn't have those overtones. So therefore, in chasonos, we'll make them. But in bishul, since bishul is not chayei nefesh, so we were more machmer in chasonos, not just because it's not chayei nefesh, but we were more machmer because of chasonos. So then we said, listen, Tony still lives down the block, so you got to stay away from him. Now the nafkamina between these two ways is, and how we view what the Rashba's difficulty was, is it just purely on chayei nefesh, or chayei nefesh dictates how far we go with chasonos? So Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal had an explosive chiddush in this sugya, and he said that it's a question of chasonos still a question of chasonos. And we're machmer b'mishal akum because we set a higher bar for chasonos because it's not chayei nefesh. But let's say I can establish a situation where chasonos is totally removed from the scene. There's no shaychus altogether. So he says the Rashba wouldn't disagree with the Ro. He'd also agree there's a din palter. We just set the bar higher. So he says, Mameilo, He says, let's say you're buying not from a store down the block from you, you're buying from like a national company. Well, Bechlal, no, nobody has connection, you know, who knows the offices of the company and whatever, you're buying from Heinz. Who has, you know, they, wherever they live, who knows who they are, whatever, they don't, you know, they don't mix, they don't sell you over the counter. The whole thing is a whole different mitzvah. It produced for the whole country. There's no personal association. You go to the supermarket and you buy their product. You have no idea you live your whole life who they are. If you met them in the street, you wouldn't know. So Rav Moshe argued that in this case of Bishul Akum, it's a din palter.
And there was no such a scenario in the times of the Rishonim that could be comparable to that?
I guess not. You know, the world, they have to realize, it's very hard to realize how quickly the world has changed. How quickly the world has changed. Mashver Zalaz Eingesund lived in a town, Ostra, or Ostrog in Russian, where the Marshal was Rov, and the Taz was Rov in this town. And it wasn't until the war, even in fact, the Marshal Shul, which stood in the city, the Marshal Shul. Now, from his town, the next significant town from his was 25 miles away. The state of the roads was so bad that if you had the best stagecoach, you got there in a day. That's how bad the roads were. You can imagine walking how it was, how treacherous it was. Now, every step was probably climbing over rocks and under rocks and around, whatever. There was no normal way to go. Transportation didn't exist in any way that we know of. So distribution was basically just about didn't exist. So the idea of a national company that was going to sit, you know, will sit in Pittsburgh and make, you know, Heinz baked beans for the whole United States, there's no having needed to have such a company. So that's the reason, due to the transportation that existed, or the dearth of transportation, that you couldn't even have a chalum to have such a factory. So this was his chiddush. Now basically, if you work for a national kashrus agency, you're sitting in a very good situation. Why? You know, what you like to do in any shayla, if you know you have your 2 feet on the ground, that they could argue with everything that I say, but it's still mutter, then you're in good shape. So, you know, once you have the tenure of Ramosha, you can't go wrong. So what do they do? So all the national agencies, they just don't want to, it's a revolutionary chiddush. So on top of that, they build snifim and snifim and snifim lahokal, all types of spars, to try to make the heter much broader than just Rav Moshe's heter. So they use, for example, they use a steaming process. Is the steaming process, in terms of Bishul Akum, is it Bishul Akum or not? Or maybe it's not Bishul Akum the way it's done in the factories, in the retorts. But even though steaming is Bishul, maybe in Bishul Akum, whatever, you know. So they'll decide certain things are begedin, not oila shulchan melocha. Yo nishnisht, you know, it's a swar. You can argue with the swar. But you pile up the snifim, so mamela, they have a much broader heter. But at the end of the day, you know, you sleep very comfortably. You know that Rav Moshe Feinstein paskin it's mutter. So you can't go too wrong. Sometimes what happens, and this is where it can get treacherous, is when you go from the national agencies to the local agencies, you have to be very careful. You can't take every heter that they use in the national agencies and apply it, you know, here on Main Street. Why? Because on Main Street we don't have Rav Moshe's heter. So here we have to be a lot more judicious in deciding what's Bishul Akum, what's not Bishul Akum. So sometimes some of the local kashrus organizations run afoul of this. You know, they adopt wholesale everything that the national agencies did. But the national agencies have a whole different sphere. Rav Moshe got the next out of the chopping block. So, this is part of the question, is there a din palter? So this is a revolutionary chiddush of Rav Moshe, that a national company that is shaykh to have a din palter.
Does that work in Israel? Do they hold from Rav Moshe's?
Listen.
They have their own set of...
Israel does everything, has its own things. They don't have, you know... let's put it this way. Israel has all its shittas. But they were always happy when Ramosha was alive, because when they really got stuck, they knew that they could, you know, send the shayla and he'd bat it away, you know. And then life could go back to the way it was before. He was of a totally different realm. Totally different realm. His hachra, his havona, shyness, which have bedeviled his door. Is it mutter? Is it osur? They can't figure it out. I'm talking the greatest rabbon of the door. And he looked at the same shyness 30 years ago, and he said, it's posher that it's mutter. He asked him to write a tshuva about it. He said, it's a bizoy in a Torah to write a tshuva of something which is mafurish in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch is mutter. Okay, and that's a shyness that 2-3 years ago the whole world was up in arms about. They didn't know what to do with this until they found out that he already was done on the shayla 30 years ago, and he said there's nothing to it. It's the difference, you know, from one, you know, there are people that, even among great people, there are very great people. Now, what do we do practically with Bishalakam? What do we do practically? Now, we should really... There's a whole tumult in the Shulchan Aruch about what the din of a non-Jew cooks in a Jew's house. Is there Bishul Akum? There isn't Bishul Akum. So the Shulchan Aruch has a din. Yesh Mishamata B'Shif Chos Shalonim. Now, where did the Shulchan Aruch live? They lived in the Middle East. And even in the rest of the world, there were still slaves. Slavery was still rampant. You know, we're talking in the 16th century. Chava was born in the 15th century. So he's talking to Shachzer Shaknuyo Islonu. They're talking about that the Shivcha was actually, she was a slave. The Melocha, the Ovar, Oyed, the Chavim, the Yisrael, who were Muzer Lob Shabbos Manatar, is classified that if he does Melocha on Shabbos, it's not allowed. Is considered working for the Jew, with the Jew's Malacha. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. Right. And the Shach, remember the Shach was in the 17th century. V'yesh mishayisar v'afilu b'diyavad. And some aser even b'diyavad. So there's a whole tumult. This is a whole huge literature. How this applies when they're only hired help, as they were in more contemporary times. And can you be samech? Can't you be samech? I mean, the chachili is certainly supposed to be machmir. But if the yevid is ask a shayla, there are a lot of factors. But this is a whole huge commotion. What happens if it's bebeis or shayisro? What's the din? Now, what are the heterim that we use? So there are three heterim. And the truth of the matter is, it's getting more complex now because of the shittas of the Sfardim. You know, we have a very significantly sized Sfardish community in New York today. Now, according to the Sfardim, it's not enough to light the fire and then the Jew should light the fire and the Goy should put it on the fire, but either you have to put the pot on the fire or light the fire under the food. That's the only way to remove Bishul Akum for a Sfar. The Ramah has two heterim. V'yesh chol k'rusvirlu l'adlokas eish, lighting the fire, achita g'cholam, storing the coals. That's enough to remove Bishul Akum. Kamul Inyan Pas. The Ramah says, V'chein Noyagin. And this is Minig Ashkenaz. And then he adds another thing. V'yeshoim, a third sheet, and afilu lo hoisi Yisrael, or afilu lo chita Yisrael, rather, lo hishluk sham kisem, which had nothing to do with the fire of Shaob, and he called him hidluk ha'ish me'ish ha'Yisrael sham. The non-Jew lit the fire from a fire which had been lit, the Jew had already lit. That's also enough. So we have three shitas. I was at a chasana somewhere up in Westchester, and was a reliable caterer with good hashkofa. Everything was fine. Sitting next to me was a Sfarad Shemin, a layman, in fact, not a rabbi, a layman. And he wanted to know who the Mashgiach was, because he had to go. He wanted to know if they were Mekayim, they fulfilled the sheet of the Sfarad for Bishalakim. And the food was good. And he's not going to eat unless he found out. I think he found out that they went to the Mashgiach, that they had fulfilled the dinner, if I recall correctly. But he was very makbid about it. Ashrila. Now we Ashkenazim have the heter if we light the fire, which is rather a chita b'gacholim. We don't really have unless you have a charcoal barbecue. You know, you can stir up the coals. But other than that, we don't have coals. We don't use solid fuel fires. So we're talking if a yid lights the fire, that even though he did nothing actually in the bishul itself. But the bishul couldn't have taken place without his action. So that's already enough to remove bishul akum. Now, shita number, the question is, we typically rely upon the pilot lights. That's our typical heter. Now, does the din of the pilot lights fulfill shita number two in the Ramah? That's considered Sirilo dad lokas aish. Or are we only relying on Shita number three? Shita number three, which is Yeshon the Philo Chita Yisrael, below Hishlach Shom Kisum Raksha, Yilchom Hidlaka Ish, Maya Isha Yisrael, that the pilot lights clearly would fit the bill for the third Shita, the second Shita in the Ramah. That a non-Jew lit the fire from a fire which a Jew lit. So then you would have that removed Bishul Akum. So are we only in compliance with Shita number three, or are we in compliance with Shita number two as well? That's the shayla. So I once had an idea that with our pilot lights we actually fulfilled Shita number two. Why? Because in the Shita number three is this fire was sitting here and I went and I put something into the fire and I lit it from the fire. Whereas here I lit a fire, when the gas comes to it, and my fire actually lights the fire. In other words, the fire that's making the bishul was actually lit by my fire. Over here, the guy went and he put a piece of wood, a splinter of wood into a fire. But that has nothing to do with the bishul that I'm doing here. Then he goes down the block and he lights another fire with the fire that he has. So my fire is totally removed from the actual bishul which is taking place. Whereas in the pilot light, it's the flame that's here is lit directly from the flame that I have. You know, my fire just grabbed a hold of the gas and lit it up. So it's my fire went directly into it, not indirectly. It's not that he lit a splinter of wood and now we took that splinter of wood and lit something else. But my fire actually lit the fire here. So Rabbi Yosha was quibbling with it this far, because he said that the ikar he holds of the Ramah is that you need a maisa to take off. You have to do an action to take off bishul akum. So Mamela, this is not an action. But he said, v'beisa shal Yisrael, if it's in a Jewish establishment, that is maskam, that it's, you know, that it could even be lechatchila, that it was maskam. Now sometimes you have. Now what happened, I'll tell you, is very interesting. It was very interesting. There was a Rav, far from New York, and he made a shul's dinner. And it was in a hotel. And they put off the pilot lights, whatever, the kasher. he forgot to relight. He forgot to relight the pot, to light the pilot lights. So the non-Jews lit the pilot lights. They put on the ovens. They did the cooking. Now he called me up, and the party's about to begin. There's 100, 200 people there, whatever they had there. And he just realizes maybe all the food is Bishul Akum. I mean, one thing I'll tell you, if it would have been Bishul Akum, the rabbi would have been fried. That would have been Bishul Yisrael. So, I was Mechadish Aheter for him. And I asked later a big goyin about it, and he was Maskam with me. That I'm right. I tainted that since you rented the space of the hotel for the party, so now it's bigger than the Beis HaShem Yisrael. The Beis HaShem Yisrael, B'Shas HaTchak, there are a terrible. So Ramela, since you rented the place that was produced in your kitchen that was rented to you, so it's bigger than the Beis HaShem Yisrael, and for B'Shas HaTchak like this, it could be Mekel. So I later asked a big goyin, and he was Mas, Zechut Tzadik L'Roch, he was Maskim with me that I'm right. That they had, I give credit to Menachem Rotenberg, that maybe it must be 20 years ago about. But as Sfardim started coming into YCQ, so he realized one day there's a lot of Sfardish kids there. And he wanted to know what to do about Bishul Akum for the Sfardish kids, that the standard of the school should meet the standard of the Sfardish kids too. Now the problem was, I don't know who the cook was, but the cook was a little old lady, and there was no way she could pick up the pots and put them on the fire. And I remember when I worked in a kitchen and back in 1966, you know, I was a waiter, so I remember that the soup pot, you know, to serve 200 people, is a huge pot. We had one African-American guy in the kitchen, he could move this thing like he was picking up, you know, a paper cup. It was nothing to him, a ox. You know, but no, you know, the rest of us, I think it was 10 of us to move this thing. He just flipped it up and down. It was cigars and garnish, nothing at all for him. So she couldn't put the pots on the fire. So what should he do? So I told him very simply, it's not a problem. Have the guy put the pots on the fire, on the stove, and after the pots are on the fire, she'll put on the fire. So the whole mishul will be done by her. You don't have to put necessarily the pot on the fire. You can put the fire under the pot too. So that also takes off the din of Bishul Akum. Now we have two other cases which can prove to be very, very relevant. It's important to know. One is a machlekes, really the mechaber and the ramah. One is muskum. The first din is how much bishul do I have to do to remove the din bishul akum? How much? So the shacharach writes: if I put a pot on the fire, v'silka, and I took it off the fire, it doesn't make a difference who took it off, but it was taken off the fire before it reached Michael ben Rissoy, probably. That in this case it would be a third cook. There's a machlekes a rishayin of Michael ben Rissoy is considered third cook, a half cooked. I have to tell you something. I came to the conclusion that we call it Michael ben Rissoy. So Rashi says in Shabbos, why is it called Michael ben Rissoy? Because ben Rissoy was a thief, and he was afraid the sheriff and his posse would catch up to him. So the most dangerous thing for such a guy is when he has to cook his food, because there's a plume of smoke, so they can identify where he is. So as soon as it reached the earliest possibility of being edible, he was on the move again. He didn't have time to stay around. It was too costly.
He put out the fire,
whatever it is, but he was on the lamb, whatever he did. I don't know if he wanted to stay there even after he put out the fire, but he was on the lamb. So I always thought his name was Ben Rissoy. But I came to the conclusion his name wasn't Ben Rissoy. Why did I come to the conclusion? Because there's a Gemara in Cheskes Abatim. The Gemara talks about Nichsei de Bar Shatya. Bar Shatya was a schizophrenic. Kibbutzim. And he was, sometimes he was psychotic and sometimes he was normal. So we sold a piece of land and then he wanted to get it back. So he was a known psychotic. So he went to Beis Din and he said, listen, when I sold the land, I was in a psychotic state, so I didn't have proper das. The buyer said, you were quite normal then. So this is the din and the gemara that the gemara deals with. So I realized, what is it called, Barshatya? Barshatya is not his name. To the contrary, Chazal didn't want to tell us his name. Whoever he was, they wanted to protect his privacy. Barshatya means the guy that had shtus in his head. And Mareila, so then I realized Bar Dursoy is the same thing. Chazal didn't identify the thief for us. What is Minig? Doras is someone that grabs something and eats it. You know, like an animal that's Doras Vaichel, it doesn't cook it, it just tears it apart, tears into it. So they called him Ben Dursoy. What his name was? His name, the Chazal didn't want to put his name and preserve his name in history. Either he didn't deserve to have his name, or even he still deserved to have his, to have it not to be defamed, notorious forever, whichever it was. But Bar Dursoy was not his name. I'll call upon him, so the halacha is, so there's a shayla if it has to be half bishul or third bishul. So here, by dinei derabbana, we paskin a third, by dinei derais, achshash derais, we paskin a half. So here the din is that you need a shlish bishul. So if it was taken off before it reached the third of the way cooked, and the halacha is, the silk of over zeros also. And again, Agila Michael Ben Rousseau, unless the Jew stayed on the fire because of the Jew's action until Michael Ben Rousseau. So this is important to know, that it has to be at least a third cooked. Din number two is like this. Bishlo over the Chokok of Michael Ben Rousseau, let's say it's the other way around. That a non-Jew cooked it to Michael Ben Rousseau. And then we said if a Yid cooked it to that extent, it took off Bishalakum. So the Chayr of a Goy cooked it to that point, it should put on the Din Bishalakum. And that's what the Mechaber says, V'gomor Yisro, Yesh Lesser. It should be awesome. The Shulchan Aruch is a caveat. Kedu Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. Whether it's Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, meaning that you don't have time to cook again. So this is what you need for Yontif. So the Tzorach Mitzvah will make up. Osheish Hefzik Meruvah Adavar, or the loss is enormous. That's the Shita of the Mechaber. So the Mechaber says the same way that Bishul Ak, Kamachal Ben Rasor, removes Bishul Ak, if a Yid did it, if a Goy made it, it makes it into Bishul Ak. V'yesh matirim b'chol inyan, the Rama says. And it brings a whole slew, a huge slew of Rishonim that hold this way. I mean, I never saw such a list. Tor b'shem the Rosh, the Ran Rabbeinu Peretz, the Maran, the Yisuv Ahed, the Smak, Rabbeinu Yochor, and the Kolba, and the Sefer HaTum, the Mordechai, the Aguda, and the Ra'ah. I mean, I never saw such a list in one Rama to defend one halacha. But it's so the Ramos is v'yesh matirim b'chol inyan, meaning, and the Shach says v'chein askomos rov apoyskum lokum arshal v'isav v'hetu. So the minig of the Ashkenazim is that even if a guy cooked it k'maychol ben rusoy, and I came along and I took it off the fire and I put it back on, so as long as I'm the one that finished it, if I put the finishing touches on it, so that's also mutar according to him. So as long as it wasn't fully cooked and I put the finishing touches on it, so according to Ramah, that also removes the din Bishul Akum. Now we'll end with one more thing, and I'm trying to remember. I recently found a raya to it also. Don't remember when I found the raya, but I'll tell you the din. There's a stira in the Mishnah Brura between Shimon Shin Yud Ches and Shin Chof Ches that for a chayla. When is the no din bishul akum for chayla shayin by sakana, chayla sheyesh by sakana? So there's a stira. One place he says, but so it doesn't apply to chayla shayin. But one place he says it's also it's a machlokes the Rashba and the Ra. So yes, Reb Leib, the son of the Chofetz Chaim, about it. Reb Leib wrote a letter. The world doesn't like his letter. The world would rather pilpul. But Reb Leib said it's very simple. He says my father wrote one of the simonim and I wrote the other simon, and that's how it came out that we had two different days. So, you know, don't know, it's kind of cautious. The world tries to make all types of pull them, you know. They don't like Rav Leib, what Rav Leib had to say. But Rav Leib was there, and he said that he told us what happened. I'll call upon him. Let's assume that by a chayla she'ein bo'i sakona, I believe with Noyag like that, that there is a heter in Bishul Akum. So is the heter only on Shabbos, or was the heter in general? That's the Shayim. So there's a very choshev, a contemporary Rav that wrote in his Sefer on Yisur v'Heter that this only applies on Shabbos, but there's no heter b'choil for such a thing. I personally did not agree with him. I thought it was incorrect in his understanding. He's a very choshev Rav. So I had a chance a few years ago, I asked Rav Zvil Orbach, Bayit Vegana, went to him and I asked him the Shayla and he said, Poshet, he says, you're right. So which makes a very, very big difference in the care of Chaylim. That even a Chayla Sha'in by Sakana, in other words, let's say you have a non-Jewish housekeeper or a person that's ill, that there's no din of Bishul Akum in such a case. So you still have to keep on your toes for the Kashrus, but in the Bishul Akum, there's a huge mokum to be makel. We'll hold it at this point, Rabbi. So as I said, next Tuesday night will be the last chair before we go on summer hiatus.